So, when I went through his notes, the main thing that I found that really hit me in the face was was an interview that he had done with Colonel Holt, the guy who wrote the memorandum. And in fact, it was from 1984. And it's the earliest interview that anybody had ever had with Colonel Holt, who wrote that memorandum. So for me, this is like gold mine. And I couldn't believe what it said. And basically what it said was that he rang him up out of the blue. Ray Boucher rings, gets the number from somewhere for Colonel Holt. Rings him up. Hello. He says, I'm a MUFON researcher.
haastatellut tämä kenraaliluutnantti Holttia jo vuonna 1984. Ja tosiaan, niin tässä nyt jatkokaa. No, jatketaan.
So he tells him that he's a researcher, UFO researcher.
Joo, eli siinä 84 tilanteessa Holttia oli tämä amerikkalainen sanonut, että hän on UFO:n tutkija.
And could he ask him a few questions? And he said yes.
Voisi kysyä muutama jutun ja Holt sanoi, että kyllä.
So bear in mind, Holt is still in the military. This is 1984. 7 years before Holt retires, so he's still in the military. And he said to him, I've been talking to a number of the witnesses, the military people who've gone on record.
Hän, eli tämä amerikkalainen MUFON-tyyppi, oli haastatellut useampia todistajia asiasta.
And he mentioned a few names.
Sano muutaman nimen.
Including Sergeant Jim Penniston, who saw the landed triangular object.
Mukaan lukien tämä Jim Penniston, joka oli tämä ensimmäinen havainnoitsija sitten laskeutuneeseen MUFON.
He mentioned Larry Warren, who told that story about the aliens in the field.
Ja Larry Warrenista kertoo myöskin, että hän oli todistaja siinä peltotapauksessa.
About the fact that it was all being filmed. That there were security police all around this craft. That the base commander of 12,000 people had come to the field. And the entities had been seen. Some kind of non-human life form has been seen. And he says, what do you say to that? And he says, yes, I can verify all of that. Yes, I can verify all of that. Think about that. He's just admitted that this aliens in the field incident had happened to this researcher. And yet, in 2017, 2018, I wasn't aware of this. Nobody was aware of this. Or nobody had picked up on the significance of that little interview. Now it's really important because when Colonel Holt retires in
1991,
7 years after admitting this incident in the field with aliens that occurred, he retires and then goes on to make many TV documentaries. About his involvement in Reynoldsian Forest. Because they wanted to speak to him because his name was on the memorandum. And guess what? He never mentioned that admission to anyone ever again. He never mentioned the admission he'd made to Rebus.
Joo, ja tosiaan se, että hän oli myöntänyt aikaisemmin, että kaikki tämä on tapahtunut, niin hän ei koskaan jälkeenpäin ottanut kantaa siihen.
And he then became like a TV personality. And he's now made over 30 or 40 documentaries on Rendlesham Forest.
Joo, hänestä tuli kuuluisa kuitenkin, ja oli 30 dokumenttia.
40.
And in fact, that's how we met during one of those recordings of one of those documentaries.
Yeah, and I'm on it in a documentary box it the Magari Holt.
Now you remember when I had this 7 years of working with him on this potential film script? I said, tell me everything. And he said, I will. So when I find this in 2018, this amazing admission.
Tosiaan, kun hän nyt vuonna 2018 nyt tullut selville siitä, että Holt oli myöntänyt kaiken sillä aikaisemmin.
He never told me anything.
Mutta eipä hän kertonut kuitenkaan Garylle mitään nyt.
Now he said he would. Why didn't he?
Että mitä tapahtui?
Now here's an interesting thing.
Kiinnostava juttu.
As soon as Holt retires and becomes a TV celebrity, as soon as Holt retires from the US Air Force, and goes on to become a TV personality in the UFO world. He then began to do something that was wrong. He then began to attack this guy. This guy's a con man, a fraud. A wannabe.
Ja tosiaan tämä Holt alkoi hyökkäämään tuon Larry Warrenia vastaan, joka oli todisteena siinä peltotapauksessa tämän nosumuunpallon ja niin edelleen.
He's making it up. There's no aliens.
Joo, sanoo, että tämä Warren on huijari.
The base commander was never there. The base commander of 12,000 people was never there.
Joo, eli komentaja ei ollut paikalla. Ei tämmöistä ole tapahtunut siinä peltotapauksessa.
You've got to ask yourself why. What did he do
then?
He wasn't the only one. As soon as Jim Penniston retired in 1993, he started to attack this guy and say, he's a con man, he's a fraud, he won't there. A third witness, called John Burroughs, retired in 1995. Straight away he starts attacking him, saying, nah, there's no aliens, nah, that didn't happen. I didn't see that.
Ja John Burroughs, joka oli kolmas todistaja, niin vuonna 1995 tänään Burroughs jäi eläkkeelle, niin Holt myöskin hyökkäsi tätä vastaan.
And yet, here was this admission made before Colonel Holt retired. He made this admission to Ray Boucher over the phone, saying that the aliens in the field, I can verify that.
Joo, eli mutta on kysymys Holtista ilmeisesti. Joo. Niin, että tosiaan niin... Mä kautin
vaan tästä. So basically, remember, Ray Boucher rings up Holt, tells him that he's interviewed people.
Joo, Ray Boucher soitti tälle Holtille ja sanoi, että hän on haastattelut näitä muita todistajia.
And then he replies.
Ja niin, että tämä Holt vastaa.
Yes, I can verify all of that.
Joo, niin kuin mä aikaisemmin olin, että aloittelin sanoa, että kaikki tämä on totta.
And it was the only time he's ever made a genuine admission.
Ja koska hän ei ole sanonut tässä samaa.
Denies anything to do with aliens.
Ei mitään aliineita ollut.
Denies that there was any incident in the field.
Ei mitään peltoa tapahtumaa ollut.
Denies that the base commander was there.
Ja sanoo, että se ensimmäinen todistaja ei ollut paikalla.
Man in charge denies that it had all been filmed.
Komentaja ei ollut paikalla.
Okay, think about that. Alright? So, very interesting. And when I saw that, I knew that Holt had been lying to me or withholding information.
Joo, ja tosiaan nyt Garylle sitten Holt on ei kerralla totuutta, ei kerralla kaikkea.
And then what it, that, the only reason and the only way you can explain the actions of these people when they retired.
Yeah, I know, mikä voisi erittää näitä henkilöiden käytöksen jälkeen.
is either they were telling the truth, or that they either had individual agendas, or a group agenda to discredit that guy. Does that make sense? Okay, so let's take it forward. So, one of the things that we should be aware of, there was some good research done. And one of the things that was also important that plays a part of Ray Boucher's research is this CNN documentary. Cable News Network, CNN.
Joo, ja se, mitä tämmöisen hyvän tutkijan pitää ottaa huomioon, niin on tässä tapauksessa tämä CNN-tekemä dokumentti.
Now this documentary is arguably, even now, one of the best two or three documentaries ever made on Rendlesham. Yeah. And it was filmed in
1985.
And what makes it interesting is that many of the actual military witnesses spoke on camera.
Ja se, mikä siinä on mielenkiintoista, että monet näistä armeijan palveluksessa olleista silminnäkijöistä puhuu kameralle.
But their faces and bodies were blacked out.
Mutta vaikka silmät, niin kuin kasvot ja muut, niin oli peitetty.
So you heard the voices, but you couldn't see them.
Kuulet, mitä ne puhuu, mutta et näe, ketä he on.
The only person who went on camera using his name was the original military whistleblower, stuck to his story and said, yeah, I'm happy to get involved in this and I will put my name out there.
Okay.
Larry Warren was the only person to go on camera as himself and say, my name's Larry Warren. Now, one of the other things that I found that was important in the Ray Boucher 345 pages of research, I came across a single page of transcript. And it was transcript of a piece of interview that was recorded on audio tape.
Ja se oli kirjoitus tai kirjoitettu tämmöisen ohjelman perusteella.
Now when Holt went out on the night the beam came down at his feet.
Ja tämä on tilanteessa, missä Holt oli Petersen sen pienen tiiminsä kanssa ja tämä valokeila tuli alas.
He was holding a small dictaphone.
Hän oli pieni nauhuri mukana.
A small audio recorder. And he, over a series of hours of this event, 4.5 hours, when he was out in the field and in the forest, he made infrequent updates, little voice recordings, occasional. And he'd say something like, 2:55, we're by the creek, we can see objects in the distance. That audio still exists. In its current form, it's 18 minutes long.
Kokonaispituus
18 minutes out of what was a 4.5 hour duration event. And he will say to save time he just made occasional entries onto the form. So if you have an audio tape, you can then make a transcription onto written pages of who said what.
Ja tosiaan tämä nauhoitus oli kirjoitettu ja se on yksi sivu sitä dokumentaarista, mikä Holt oli lähettänyt.
So when I went through Ray Boucher's research, the 345 pages,
ja kun oli läpi tämän 345 sivuisen dokumentaarin,
I came across this single page of transcript from this event, from Holt's tape. And it was handwritten, it had some handwritten annotations written in the margin. And at one point in the transcript that was typed, there is handwritten, it says B bar. Make the sound B bar. Yep. And I thought, what's that? So I went to Larry Warren, who I'd met, the original military whistleblower, and I said, I've come across this sheet of paper and it's got the words B hyphen bar. B-E-E hyphen bar B-A-A. What does that mean? Do you know?
Tosiaan, kun hän ei tiedä, että mitä ihmettä voisi tarkoittaa, niin hän kääntyi tämän Larry Warrenin puoleen, joka jo tunnettu siitä, että se oli omalla nimellä aikaisemmin esillä ensimmäinen todistaja. Niin.
And immediately he said, yeah, the British police turned up while it was happening.
Ja tämä on englantilainen poliisitermi, että mitä se on tapahtumassa.
He said that when he was out on his night of involvement, all the vehicles had to stop at what's called the clearing area because they couldn't go any further because it was all blocked off, the forest. So if you can imagine perhaps 20 or 30 Air Force security police just milling around this area waiting to be told what to do. He said the British police turned up in their police van, and its siren made the sound beba beba beba. Then he said the American vehicles went woo woo woo. And it turns out that the transcription the little notes had been made by the presenter of the CNN documentary. A guy called Chuck DeCaro, who was a famous American investigative journalist. Now, when I had listened to the Holt audio tape of the 18 minutes, I'd never heard B-bar in the background. But clearly in 1985, the version that he had access to clearly sounded the police vehicle arriving in the forest. And can you see the devil is in the detail? English. So that was a very strange thing to find. And subsequently, I found an audio tape copy that has exactly the B bar sound where Larry Warren said it had been, and that was annotated on that single sheet of paper, proving that the police turned up. Or helping to prove. Just some interesting things. How many people recognize this guy? Anybody tell me his name?
Nick Pope.
Nick Pope, yeah. And why has Nick Pope become famous in UFOs? Put your hand up your once, friends. Why has he become famous? Not you. You're a researcher. That's easy. Come on, one of the audience. Why has Nick Pope become famous in UFO history?
He was in an ironing desk.
Because?
He was in the ironing desk.
He was, yeah, that's actually accurate.
He was a TV person.
TV person.
Minister or something.
No. He's the closest. Well done. But a misnomer. Nick Pope said he ran the UFO desk at the British MOD. At no time did he run anything. He was 24 years old when he began working for the MOD on the UFO desk. He held the position for 3 years to the age of 26. I can assure you that nobody runs a Ministry of Defence UFO department at the age of 24. And many documents have subsequently been released through Freedom of Information Act that said he never ran anything. He was just a lowly clerk. He was called a desk officer. And in the office where he worked...
Ja vuonna 24-vuotiaista siinä asemassa, ja kun ajattelin asiaa tarkemmin, niin eihän kenellekään että tuommoista asemaa noin nuorena. Ja edestä on väitetty, ettei hänellä mitään sellaista asemaa koskaan ollutkaan.
So Nick Pope only works at the UFO desk for 3 years. Lots of documents say he dealt with UFOs 20% of his working week.
Ja tosiaan hänellä oli tämä tiskin takainen asema 3 vuotta, ja on sanottu, että hänellä oli vain 20% se työajasta ulkoon liittyvää.
He even said that himself in letters to the public. I only do this a little bit, when he was actually working.
Joo, ja hän on ilmoittanut aikoinaan, että tosiaan että se on vain pieni osa hänen töistään, mutta ilmeisesti se olikin paljon suurempi.
So, let's do the maths now. Let's work an 8-hour day.
Eli ajatellaan, että tehdään 8 tunnin päivää.
If we work 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, that's 40 hours. 20 hours, well, 20% of his time is one day a week. And all that UFO desk did really was deal with reports that came in from members of the public.
Ja tosiaan, mitä hänen hommassa oli, että hän otti vastaan näitä kirjeitä kansalaisilta.
Via telex or fax, as it used to be.
Telexin tai faxin kautta.
Very low-level reports.
Eli hyvin matalan tason hommia.
Niin, matalan tason raportteja.
Raportteja.
Okay. Mostly incomplete.
Useimmiten epätäydellisiä.
90% of which could immediately be filed away.
90% näistä tapauksista voidaan suoraan pistää
roskiksi.
He said that for his 3 years he dealt with 900 cases.
3 vuodessa 900 tapausta.
90% of them were so poorly filled in that they were immediately filed.
Joo, eli 90% näistä raporteista oli niin huonoja, että suoraan saattoi laittaa pois.
So the 300 cases were left with about 30. And those that were more important were from pilots and police officers.
Joo, että noin 30 oli tärkeimpiä tapauksista, ja useimmiten oli armeijan henkilöstä ja poliisin raportteja.
And all he would do when he had a pilot or a police officer, he'd make a few phone calls and chase up on that.
Joo, ja tosiaan kun puhutaan poliisien raporteista, niin useimmiten teki muutama puhelun asiasta.
He was not a trained investigator.
Hän ei ollut mikään tutkija asiasta.
He never left the office.
Eikö mennä koskaan tutkimaan?
Joo, ei poistunut paikan päällä tutkimaan.
And yet he's now the world's most famous TV go-to guy. Why?
Ja nyt se on tosiaan numero ykkönen maailmassa. Minkä takia?
Why? Because when he left and wrote a book,
koska hän niin kun lähti ja kirjoitti kirjan, niin
he told the press
kertomahistoria
that he ran the UFO desk. He was in charge.
Niin, että hän oli tämän UFO-tutkimuksen johdossa.
But the press didn't do their job, did they?
Ja lehdistö ei tutkinut asiaa tarkemmin.
And they didn't verify his background, did they? And so, hey presto, he becomes the world's go-to guy.
Yeah,
who went on to become a millionaire because of that.
Joo, niin eipä tästä Popista tuli tämän tiskiuransa jälkeen maailman kuuluisimpia henkilöitä.
I've met Nick Pope many times.
Ja Gary on tavannut tämän Popin monta kertaa.
I've had lunch with him.
Porossa on hänen kanssa.
I've sat as close as this man. Yeah. Sat now.
No, on näin lähellä Nick Pope.
We were never friends, but we were not nasty towards each other.
Joo, tämä ei ollut ystäviä, mutta ei myöskään vihollisia.
And I once had lunch with him and I said, because I'm good at body language. And I said, Nick, I think you still work for the government. Anyway. No, I don't. In his seat, he just put his head down. Perfect admission of a lie. Can't face you, eye to eye. No, I don't. And he looked as awkward as anything. And I always believed that he was a plant within the UFO community. He now lives in America. And here's an interesting little coincidence that I later found out with Colonel Holt, the man who wrote the memorandum.
Se voi sitten korjata, jos se menee
vielä. Strange little thing I found out.
Ensin oli tämä kohtaaminen ja body language, ja hän kysyy sitten.
No mä sanon jotain ja sen sanon, mikä se oikein. Että tosiaan Gary Hoitala on Nick Popin hyvin lähietäisyyteen, koska Garylla on tätä kokemusta haastattelutilanteista. Hän näkee heti, että tyypillä on semmoinen kehonkieli, että kysymyksessä on valehtelija, että tähän ei voi luottaa. Ja tosiaan niin jopa sillä tavalla, että mahdollisesti kyseessä on tämmöinen istutettu henkilö tähän homopiireihin levittämään disinformaatiota ehkä. Ja tosiaan, että nykyään tämä Nick Pop on sitten muuttanut on Amerikkaan.
Joo.
So remember that classic avoidance when you ask a difficult question. Did you sleep with someone else last night? You're going to avoid it if it's an uncomfortable question. So you look away. It's called involuntary body language. Yeah? Non-verbal communication. And when I said that difficult question, his response was,
joo, että kun Gary alkaa kysymyksen, niin tosiaan se ihminen pyrkii väistämään katseellaan ja se osoittaa sitä, että niin tyyppi on luottamista. Ja tässä on tämmöinen pieni esimerkki siitä, että ootko käynyt vieraassa, niin mihin, miten siihen vastataan, että siitä niin näkee, onko asia totta vai ei.
Until 2018, we remained sociable friends.
Ja 2017-2018 jälkeen niin he ei ole ollut väleissä.
I never trusted him, so I never talked too much in his presence. But when I started working on this documentary and announced to people that I was getting involved in a reinvestigation, he then went on to Facebook and started attacking me verbally on Facebook.
Niin silloin tämä Nick Pope tosiaan Facebookin kautta hyökkäsi Garya vastaan.
And he said, Heseltine has done good work up until now, but now he's getting involved with this documentary. It's a hoax, false documentary. And that if Gary Heseltine was still in the police, he should be arrested. Thanks, Nick.
Joo, eli
what he said?
Kun tosiaan tämä Gary aloitti tämän uuden tutkimuksen, niin oli jo puhetta, että Pompo ja Facebookin kautta hyökkäsi vastaan sanoa, että niin kuin Garyn aikaisempi työ on ihan hyvää ja arvostettua, mutta tämä uusi on, tämä on huijausta.
And here's an interesting little anecdote.
Tästä on hassu kasvu.
I later found out, after I'd ended my association with Colonel Holt,
kun Gary lopetti tämän suhteen tähän Holtiin.
That who was, when Nick Pope got married in America, who was his best man?
Yes. Joo, eli kun Nick Pope tosiaan oli avioon Amerikassa, niin kukas oli tämä?
Colonel Holt was his best man. Interesting. Do you not think? Colonel Holt was his best man at his wedding. All right, we digress. The reason why I mention Nick Pope is not to trivialize him, But yeah. he plays a major part in his story. And that's because as soon as he retired from the Ministry of Defence, somebody talking over there? As soon as he retired, he then started to attach himself to the Rendlesham Forest story. He began working with a lady who wrote a very famous book called You Can't Tell the People. That was written by a lady called Georgina Bruna. Who was not a UFO researcher. She was basically just an ordinary journalist. But she did a very good book that came out in the year 2000. Arguably the best overall book about the case by the year 2000. He was heavily, he wrote the foreword to her book. Later on, he gets involved in lots of Rendlesham documentaries, TV documentaries. Nick Pope gets involved. He then begins to work with two of the witnesses, John Burroughs and Jim Penniston. And he writes a book about their involvement. In reality, there was only three chapters of the book devoted to John Burroughs and Jim Penniston. The rest of the 16 or so chapters was just a rehash of the existing story. When they began working with Nick Pope, they thought he was writing their story, the book would be all about them. And with only three chapters, it clearly wasn't. Chapters of the book. Okay. He then writes another book about Rendlesham Forest. And he basically becomes this top guy researcher of Rendlesham Forest. Now bear in mind, he's the top go-to guy for all documentary filmmakers. He's the top person History Channel, Geography Channel would go to, will you get involved in our documentary on UFOs? About Rendlesham Forest. So very cleverly, he had inserted himself as to somebody who could control the narrative, the story in the media. He's the person you're going to go to. Every documentary. So, Nick, what do you think about Rendlesham Forest? That's a good position to be in. And the reality is that Nick Pope has controlled the narrative of how Rendlesham Forest is presented in the media for about 24 years. Okay, so that's interesting. Keep thinking about this. So from my point of view, when I reinvestigate the case, I want to find out, is there any corroboration to Larry Warren's account in the field? Is there any other military witnesses who will say, yeah, I was there?
Ja tosiaan, niin kun Käri nyt on tutkimassa uudestaan tapausta, niin häntä kiinnostaa ennen kaikkea, että kun on tähän asti ollut vaan tämä Larry Warren nimellä sen jonkin, että onko ketään muuta todistajia, jotka on niin vahvistanut tämän tapauksen.
And I found historical references to two military witnesses. One called Airman Greg Basho, this guy.
Ja tosiaan löysin sitten kaksi todistajaa lisäksi Leidon aamuun erillä.
And another guy, this guy here, Sergeant Adrian Bustinza. Sergeant, Sergeant, no explanation needed. All right, so the thing was, can I track him down to speak to? Can I track him down to speak to all these years later?
Joo, kysymys oli se, että onko näin moni voi jälkeen tavoittaa nämä henkilöt, että niiden kanssa voi haastatella.
Now, since the release of the book, I was never able to trace him, but since the release of the book last year, I found out that he has subsequently passed away. Shame. However,
sen jälkeen kun oli tosiaan hänen kirjansa julkistettu, niin hän silloin löysi toisimmista kavereista, mutta se oli heittänyt veljensä.
All was not lost.
Mutta kaikki ei ollut menetetty.
Because guess what?
Elikkä arvatkaa mitä?
Ray Boucher, that American researcher that we talk about, he'd interviewed him in 1984.
Elikkä tosiaan amerikkalainen tutkija, en nyt sano ihan nimeä, mutta se oli vuonna 84 päässyt haastattelemaan toista näistä todisteista.
And Ray Boucher had also interviewed Adrian Bustinza, the first person ever to do so, in 1984.
Mutta tosiaan niin tämä Ray Boucher,
Ray Boucher had interviewed Sergeant Bustinza in 1984.
Se oli päässyt haastattelemaan molempia näistä todistajista, mitkä oli voinut vahvistaa tämän Warrenin tapauksen.
And the good news was, transcripts of those interviews were still in his research notes. You remember the 345 pages of scanned material? I come across these interviews. Wow! And it's basically the only time they ever gave interviews. Greg Batram made one other interview again in 1984 to an American police detective called Larry Fawcett.
Joo, toinen näistä todistajista oli itse asiassa toisenkin haastattelu amerikkalaisen tutkijan.
And Larry Fawcett, again, this long interview, he said, I saw Larry Warren at the clearing area where all vehicles were. So all those people that said he wasn't involved, there's a guy that's saying he was, I saw him. And he was friends with him, so he'd recognize his friend.
Elikkä yksi näistä todistajista oli tunnistanut Larry Warrenin sen kyseisen farmarilla ja pellon vieressä, että se osoitti, että Larry Warren oli paikalla siellä.
This guy was much more harder to find, but I eventually did get to speak to him.
Jaha, tosiaan niin kävi löytyi tämän toisen todistajan, joka oli vielä hengissä lopulta.
Joka oli vaikea löytää.
Now it turns out that Adrian Bustinza had been very traumatized by his involvement. He was very religious.
Hän oli uskonnollinen. Hyvin uskonnollinen.
Adrian Bustinza was religious. So when he saw entities, aliens for want of a better word, he messed with his mind because he was deeply religious. He was also, after the incident, interrogated by the US Air Force Police, Special CID. And he was threatened with his life. He was told, if you speak about this, bullets are cheap.
Joo, ja hänelle oli sanottu, että jos kerron tästä tapauksesta, niin henki on löysässä.
Niin, ammukset on halpoja.
Niin, se on sanottu.
Bullets are cheap. Inferring, you speak, you get killed. He was so frightened by that, that he wanted to run away from the Air Force.
Joo, ja hän oli käynyt läpi pelästyä tästä tapahtumasta ja haastattelun haastattelusta ja huomakauksesta, että se vaan halusi juosta karkuun.
So this guy had made very few interviews in history.
Ei ole kovinkaan monta haastattelua ihan tämän takia hänessä.
But in the interview with Ray Boucher from 1984, he seemed to be describing another landing, very similar to the Larry Warren account. Another landing. And as a result, he really didn't want to do any kind of media interviews. He was on social media. He was on social media. But he wouldn't reply to any of my emails or messages. However, after 2 years of trying, one of the people I re-interviewed, a lady called Laurie Bowen, who was a witness to a degree, she was a village lady. Laurie Bowen. Laurie Rafo, sorry, Laurie Rafo. She'd been interviewed for the documentary and she said, Gary's a good guy, he's only after the truth. So she had a word with him and eventually he agreed to speak to him.
Joo, ja tosiaan tämän naishenkilön kautta, eli se on jatunut kuitenkin Varenin kanssa ollut tuttu, ei kun tämän, Rahusivan toisten kanssa tuttu, ja joka oli tämä hankalaa tavoitettava, niin silloin se onnistui lopulta tämä Gary ja tämän todistajan haastattelu.
Now I don't usually get nervous.
Joo, tosiaan Gary ei normaalisti hermostu.
As you can probably tell.
Minkä ehkä huomasi tässä.
But I was nervous interviewing him. Because he held a part of the story that could be really interesting. Now he lives in America and I live in the UK. So after a few attempts to set up the meeting, I eventually speak to him for 4.5 hours in a telephone call. That was audio recorded with his permission. And I would have to say that his interview is probably the most important UFO witness interview I've ever done in 24 years.
Ja tosiaan tämä haastattelu oli niin kuin tärkein todistus 24 vuoteen.
Because not only did he tell me about that he was part of Holt's group in the forest on one night. He eventually tells me 3.5 hours into the interview. And from my point of view, this is a night shift interview through the night. I'm flagging. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm getting tired. And when you're doing an interview like this, it's hard to concentrate. Somebody's phone? It's all right, you take it, you don't get shot. Bye. Always happens. When he's interviewed, we do 3 hours not talking about Larry Warren and the field at all. He goes into great deal about the night he was out with Holt in the forest, which he was. His name is in the audio, comes up in the audio transcript.
His name, Bustinza, appears in the transcript of Holt's audio tape.
Joo, eli tosiaan niin, tämä Holtin nauha, joka on käännetty, niin siinä on tämä todistajan nimi, joten tiedetään, että hän oli siinä, niin kuin hän kertoo.
Now, I'm getting really tired. And we've never mentioned Larry Warren once, and it's 3 hours in. I'm getting really tired. So I have to say to him, I am getting tired, so I'm going to move things forward a little, which I don't like to normally do.
Joo, eli alkaa olla kärisemällä asioita, että hän sanoo, että puhutaan sinut vähän muistakin asioista.
And so I mentioned, I said, in 1984,
joo, niinpä, tulee ilmi, että vuonna 84,
you gave an interview to Ray Boucher.
Hän oli antanut tämä puhelimessa haastattelu tälle Ray Boucherlle.
And in that interview you mentioned Larry Warren.
Ja siinä haastattelussa tämä silminenkin oli maininnut Larry Warren.
So I said, in your own words, can you tell me about Larry Warren?
Ja nyt on Gary sanonut, että voisi kertoa tästä Larry Warrenista.
And unexpectedly he said this. That was another night. I said, sorry, that was another night. Now up until then, Bustinza was only involved in one night. And now he's just admitted he was involved in a second UFO night.
Ja nyt tosiaan oli ilmiselvää, että niin paitsi että tämän haastattelija silminnäkijä, niin
unexpected.
Ei ollut pelkästään silminnäkijä yhdessä tapauksessa, vaan kahdessa tapauksessa.
So I said to him, tell me what happened on this other night.
Elikkä mitäpä sitten tapahtui toisena.
And he said, I don't know why they chose Larry Warren.
Ja hän sanoi, että hän ei ymmärrä, miksi ne valitsi Larry Warrenin.
To go near the craft. And it turns out that he was stood next to Larry Warren in the cordon around the shimmering craft. And he basically said that Larry Warren had been encouraged to go closer to the craft. Wow. That's a wow. So I said, tell me about everything that you can see in your memory. Then he said, there was security police all around the craft. It was translucent. He says, yeah, it was being filmed. I didn't tell him it was being filmed. He said it was being filmed. All right, so he said it was being filmed. Again, corroborating what Warren had said. And he said, Colonel Holt was there. Colonel Holt wrote the memorandum. He's never told anybody that he was there. Remember, he'd retired in 1991. And then became a TV personality in UFO world. And it denied that this incident in the field had occurred. The base commander wasn't there, aliens are rubbish. Yes. Not real. But remember that admission that he made to Ray Boucher in 1985. I can verify all of that. Larry Warren had always said that Colonel Holt was in that field. Colonel Holt, Larry Warren had always said that Holt was in that second landing scenario.
Pikkuisen taustaa, eli kun oli tämä Holt oli kieltänyt, että mitä tällaista pentoomaa tapahtunut ja Larry Warren ei ollut paikalla, ja nyt on kaksi todistajaa, jotka sanoo, että tämä on tapahtunut, ja tunnistaa Larry Warrenin paikalta, se oli siinä ringissä, mikä oli siellä kapineen ympärillä. Paitsi Goldkin oli paikalla, ja sen tämä kommentteja siitä koko.
And now, Sergeant Adrian Postinza is saying virtually exactly the same.
Ja tosiaan todistaja Postinza on myöskin sanoo todistaa tämän ääntäneen.
And he didn't like to use the word alien. Bear in mind, he was religious, he didn't like the connotation. But he basically said he admitted that he'd seen life forms. Near to the translucent
fact.
He said that at one point, Colonel Holt had told him to confiscate still cameras, still picture cameras, from the policemen that were watching, the British policemen.
Ja tosiaan Holt, tämä varakomentaja, on käskenut tätä silminnäkijää, että se ottaa kamerat pois sieltä näkyviltä poliisihenkilöiltä, mitkä on paikalla.
Takavarikkoja.
Larry Warren had always said the British police were at the side, in the back of the forest.
Joo, Larry Warren oli sanonut, että niinku, ne oli vähän kauempana nämä poliisihenkilöt metsässä.
And he goes on to say, when he was in the staging area, where all the vehicles couldn't go any further. He heard the British siren turn up in the forest. Bima, bima. Again, corroborating what Warren had said in 1983, when he went public.
Ja vuonna 1983 haastattelussa niin tämä oli tullut esille ja tosiaan se isä ääni, mikä oli lisätty siihen äänellä, vaan se oli totta.
So finally, after all these years, we could confirm that the second landing in the field almost certainly occurred. And they weren't friends, they weren't in contact with each other.
Ja nämä todistajat asuvat todistaa nimenomaan sen, että se toinen laskeutuminen oli tapahtunut, eikä tämä pentohomma, jossa oli tämä osumapallo.
So if you think about it, Holt's admission to Ray Boucher, I can verify that, all of that, that was the story. Second landing, entities, security police being filmed, and the base commander was there. Postinza says, yeah, the base commander was there, the top guy, Colonel Gordon Williams.
Joo, ja todistajat nyt todistaa sen, että Holt oli paikalla, se komentaja oli paikalla, ja tosiaan kaksi eri todistajaa todistaa, että Warren oli paikalla. Niin kyllä tämä niin voi osoittaa, että ei ole vain yksi laskeutuminen, vaan ainakin kaksi.
Now, during part of the investigation for the book, the director said, what do you know about polygraph tests? I said, nothing, because it's not used by the British police.
Ja tosiaan nyt kun tutkimusta viedään eteenpäin niin, että voisiko tehdä tätä valheenpaljastuskoetta.
A lady, he managed to find the top woman in Britain. So the director of the documentary traced the top polygraph examiner in the United Kingdom.
Joo, eli oltiin etsimässä tämä englannin parasta tutkijaa nimenomaan käyttämään tätä valheenpaljastuskoetta.
And she turned out to be an American who lived in London. American lady who lived in London. So he then says to me, Gary, do you want to get involved in going down to London and we'll film all this and see what happens? And I said, fine, fair enough. That's a good way to test. And so we all went down to London, the crew. And we set up 5 remote cameras. And then we were told to leave while she did the test with
them.
And it took a while to set up all the cameras and the equipment, etc. And I remember talking to Larry Warren before he did his test. Now there was a lot riding on this. There was a lot of credits involved in this. If he passed it, it would look good for him. If he failed it, I'd have walked away. Now bear in mind, you're putting your whole credibility on the line. It's a bit like somebody saying to you, Peggy, you're doing your driving test tomorrow. Another driving test tomorrow. Would you be nervous? If you did, because you won't drive as good as you did when you were learning. Yeah? You've got to do your pilot's license again. You'd be nervous.
Absolutely.
And I said, watch Larry Warren, he's body language. Good at body language. Excuse me. Gentlemen, I'm speaking here, please. It's rude. So, I'm looking at his body language. And prior to the test, I said, are you nervous? He said, a little bit. And I looked at him thinking, I couldn't do that. If somebody had said to me, Gary, you're taking your driving test tomorrow, I'd be really nervous, because I'm not as good a driver as well when you're doing your training. You get bad habits. So we get told to leave, she's about ready to do the test. Result. When we got back, she calls us back. Yeah, you can come back, it's done. Half an hour later. 30 minutes later. And she said, he's passed with strong charts. He's passed with strong charts, which meant he's very truthful. And what was he questioned about? The incident in the field. The mist on the ground. The security police cordon. The translucent craft. The commander, the 12,000 personnel involved in some kind of silent face-off with entities. Passed with flying colours. Accuracy level of a modern polygraph is 94.6 or something like that. Very, very high. I'd never seen it before, but you're attached to 5 different devices that measure sweat, movement, voice, stomach breathing. Very clever, all put into a computer. He is the only person ever to do a lie detector test with regards to what happened at Brindleson Forest. And the polygraph examiner that did Larry Warren said, I'll do any of the witnesses for free. And not one of the other witnesses taken up their offer. Especially Colonel Hope, Sergeant Jim Peniston, and Airman John Burroughs. 3 of the leading One of the other things, I'm going to be wrapping up in about 10, is that okay? Or do you want me to keep going?
We have about 15 minutes.
50?
Yes, 15.
15, yeah. 10, 15, let's not split hairs. Right, okay, so 15 minutes, okay. So, one of the things that again emerged that's evidential that's been covered up is that when I talked to a number of military witnesses who were involved, not as big of the players, as it were, didn't see as much. 2 of them said that the 3
radio channels that were in use by the security police on any at any one time. There were three radio broadcasts from three different parts of the base. So you could change frequency and get on a different channel and speak to like the air traffic control, that was another one. But there were three police radio channels. And routinely, they were recorded on audio tape.
During that incident?
Yeah, no. Routinely, the US Air Force police recorded three radio channels of communications.
Well, at that time.
At that time.
Also, yeah.
Think about that. Every incident for over 6 or 7 days would have been audio recorded, routinely. The audio tape is physical. You can pick it up. It's called real evidence. Most people think of it as physical evidence, but it's called real evidence. Okay? Not one of those audio tapes has ever been mentioned by Colonel Holt, the base commander, anyone associated with rebels. What a gold mine they would be if we could find them. What things don't we know? I suspect a lot.
And how about the pictures?
I'll talk about them. The video that was made of the landing, the second landing, we know what happened to it initially. And we know about it because of a guy called Major Mike Varano, an officer.
Mike Varano, who called it officer, I guess it's called officer.
After the incident in the field, the second landing, he drove the base commander, Colonel Williams, the man in charge, to a waiting F-16 fighter aircraft at Bentwaters. And during the journey to the plane, Captain Varano saw that Colonel Williams had like a top secret bag. And Captain Mike Brown says, "What's in the bag, sir?" And he says, "The footage of the UFO in the field." So the vehicle stops beside the F-16. Colonel William takes the top secret satchel back. Climbs up a little ladder, pops it up and says, "There you go." Then flies away to Area Ramstein in
Germany.
We then know that it ended its way, or found its way, to Washington, D.C. How do we know? Because a lady who worked in Washington, D.C. at the Pentagon, called Ann Turner, she was the Freedom of Information Officer for the Pentagon.
Freedom of Information,
And Ray Boucher, you remember the guy with the 340 pages of research who'd interviewed all these people back in the early 80s? He became friends over the phone with them, because he'd asked so many FOI requests.
Raportti niistä haastattelusta 80-luvulla, niin on tullut ystäväksi tämän Washington DC:n naisen kanssa, joka oli jo vastuussa tästä Freedom of Information -materiaalin tulevaisuudessa.
And one day, she surprises him and says the following.
Ja yhtenä päivänä sitten tämä nainen yllättävästi sanoo seuraavaan.
She said, I just overheard a group of American pilots.
Hän on juuri puheessa
kuullut joltain.
And I overheard them talking about the film of Rendlesham Forest.
Ne oli kertonut tästä filmistä, mikä oli otettu siellä Rendlesham
Forestissa. And she said, but when I've looked in our Pentagon records, there are none. When she checked the Pentagon records about Rendlesham Forest, there were none.
Eli tosiaan niin, kun hän kuuli näistä, että on video näissä Rendlesham tapauksissa, niin tämä Washington DC-nainen, joka oli vastuussa tästä Freedom of Information -materiaalin käytössä, niin etsi, että onko heitä tämmöistä materiaalia. Ei löytynyt mitään.
And he found that out in about 1986.
Hän on tilanteen vuonna 1986.
Now, how long have we got left? 5 minutes?
5 minutes? Yes, I was.
5 minutes?
Five.
Right. So, not long to do now. You've done well. It's not easy, line by line. It's very difficult, and I think this man deserves a full round of applause. At the end, not now. He's still got some work to do. Right. Now, what a lot of people don't realise, and that I didn't realise when I went into the reinvestigation, was there had actually been about 5 earlier UFO-related incidents. During the course of 1980, prior to the events in December. And I'm not going to go into the details because of time, but these people, Laurie Rehfeld, she had an incident in February of
1980.
Airman Michael Stacy Smith had an event in July. And Steve Wagner, I might just tell you about his because it's interesting, really interesting. Steve Wagner had been involved in some minor sightings over that period. And so initially I didn't think he had much of a part to play in the reinvestigation. I'd become aware that he'd had a sighting of his own in November of 1980. And so I interviewed him for the documentary, and just by chance I said, look, did you have any other kind of experiences over that time? And he went, yeah. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, it's a strange one, I didn't see anything. So I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, we got a call on the 23rd of December, prior to Christmas. Nobody had ever talked about an incident in December prior to Christmas. And he said, an airman who was at Woodbridge, near the forest, saw something go, a light drop into the forest, and he got frightened. And he got frightened and he'd gone on the radio saying, look, I've seen something, I'm frightened, can somebody come and back me up? So Steve Wagner with a colleague are on mobile patrol. And they liaise with this airman who was at the back of Woodbridge Gate, what's called the East Gate. A perimeter gate called the East Gate. And they said, what's happened? And he said, well, something came down in those trees over there. And at that time, in 1980, the trees were very close to the gate, the east gate. Okay. They don't see any craft or anything like that, but they said, okay, we'll have a look. So they go off, the two of them, flashlights, don't see any craft or anything. But 150 metres approximately from the east gate, in a little clump of trees, they find something really odd.
Ja tosiaan nämä, mitkä tulee sen vartiomiehen avuksi, oli kutsunut tähän tiimiin, kävivät sitten sinne metsään tai lampun valossa katsovat 150 metriä sisään metsään ja näki jotain erityistä.
They find three indentations in the ground.
Näkyy kolme.
In a perfect triangle.
Kolme muodossa.
Wow. Well, guess what? The original ones that had been seen on the first night were only about 9 inches across. Remember the plaster cast right at the beginning of the lecture? They were about 9 inches, 10 inches across. All the same. Same depth in the soil. How big do you think these depressions were? Each. 5 feet. 5 times 30 centimetres, 150 centimetres approximately each. Not 9 inches, 20 centimetres. So they're about 10 times larger than the ones that had originally been seen on the first night landing. So these are approximately 150 centimetres identical equilateral triangle depressions in the ground. Up until that time, nobody in the entire history of Rendlesham Forest had ever heard that story. And just by chance he'd come out with it. But he didn't think it was that important. Because he didn't see a UFO. He didn't realise its relevance to the later story. So you think about it, something that was much, much larger than what had been seen originally, the 3 metre by 3 metre triangle that gave the three indentations on the first night, this was something that was probably 10 times bigger in size and
weight.
And I said to him, well, did you report it to the authorities, to your bosses? And he went, no chance. Yeah. I said, why?
Yes.
He said, because when he reported the incident that he'd seen in November, he'd been ridiculed. He'd been told off by his bosses. Don't you bring that rubbish to us. So he'd said to himself after that, if ever I see anything, I ain't saying anything. Which makes sense. But lots of them had a hard time when they reported things. How long are we on?
2 minutes.
2 minutes? Fine. Yeah. You'll be fine. 2.5. Good. Right, okay. The last slide. This is a major story in itself. I said that Adrian Bustinza was the first and most important witness that I'd ever spoken to in 24 years. He's the second most. Steve Longero. Because he said he was inside the nuclear weapons storage area. Somebody talking at the back there? Excuse me? Stop talking, please. Disrespectful. And he's inside the nuclear weapons storage area, and he sees a UFO over the nuclear weapons storage area, shining a beam down, doing this. And he does a grid-like search of a 300-meter section of the weapons storage area, the nuclear weapons storage area. Up until that time, it was rumors only that beams had gone down into the nuclear weapons storage area. And that's a big story, you'd think. And this guy came forward to me and said, I was there, inside. I'm a direct witness. It's not second-hand. I was a witness. I was inside walking around on patrol when the UFO shines a beam down into the nuclear weapons bundle. Yeah. And guess what? The press don't want to print this into in the UK.
Ja tosiaan tässä on toinen, kaksi tärkeä henkilöä, joita tuli haastatelluksi tässä uudelleen tutkimuksen yhteydessä. Että siinä tosiaan tämä kyseinen silminnäkijä on ollut alueella sitä, missä selvittää nyt taktisia ydinaseita. Se on oliko sitä 300 metriä pitkä alue. Ja tosiaan niin siinä oli UFO yläpuolella, joka tosiaan tämmöisen valokeilan siksak-muodossa niin kuin kävi läpi nämä kaikki parakit, missä näitä aseita oli.
So you can see that this is just the flavour of all the things, some of the more important things, but there's lots of other stuff, lots of old documents that I found that are all relative to proving these incidents. Have we got 1 minute?
1 minute? Yes.
Right, this is the very last slide. It's only because that you're sitting attentively. You're all listening. I've not lost you yet. 2.5 hours to lecture line by line is difficult. This lady, Lieutenant Bonnie Tamplin, she was an officer, one of the shift commanders. She was driving on a rural road from RAF headquarters en route by a country lane to RAF Woodbridge. As she's driving along in a military vehicle to her left, she sees a sphere, a red sphere. We're not quite sure how big it was, but let's say basketball size maybe. It's a small red sphere. And she's driving, and at head height, the sphere is flying parallel with her vehicle as she's on the road. She sees it, frightened, as you would be. She loses control of the vehicle. She crashes the vehicle into a ditch, rolls the vehicle, turns it over, rolls the vehicle onto its back. She climbs out, and the UFO is stopped looking down on her. Her weapon is on the seat. Bang, 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 bang. UFO departs. That story had never been told until this came out. The press, the British press, don't want to tell the story. Because it's a big story. It's all covered up by the Americans. All the bullets that she discharged were put back. How do we know that it happened? Because of this guy. Hang on. This guy.
When I asked him, have you been see anything else? He said, yeah. I know a bit about what happened to Bonnie Tamplin. Tell me the story. And this is how the story came out. And he'd been a direct witness to some of the incident. He was told, quickly, go down and open this back gate to Irish Benmore's. He sees two, three military vehicles go rushing out in a convoy. About 15 minutes later, one of the sergeants that we knew, Sergeant Ball, come back, and Bonnie Tyler is in the front seat, crying, dishevelled, terrified. She drives onto the base. 10 minutes later, another vehicle comes back. Her vehicle with rooftop damage, because they'd retrieved it, turned it back on its top, and it had sustained rooftop damage. He saw that damage. Still drivable. Goes on the base. He then goes see a sergeant that he knew, who was in the control room. And he said, what happened to her? And this story emerges. So he was direct witness to some of it, corroborated that she'd was disheveled, that something happened, that the vehicle had been damaged. And the sergeant says, if you never reveal my name, I'll tell you what happened. And I've given you the version of what's happened. And on that, thank you very much. Just before you clap, I want you to give a round of applause to this man. Come on, stand up.